Okay, so imagine this. You're sitting in your kid's Sunday school class, expecting, like a pretty simple lesson about the Bible. And then all of a sudden, the teacher just starts throwing out all these terms like Bronze Age urban transitions and pottery chronology.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody got a little carried away with the lesson plan.
Right. I mean, the kids were looking around like, what is going on?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of what got me thinking about this deep dive we're doing today. It just made me realize how many people are really fascinated by archaeology and how it all connects to the Old Testament. But to be honest, sometimes the details can get kind of jumbled.
Yeah, it's understandable, I think. I mean, you're dealing with ancient mysteries and all these exciting discoveries. And, the Bible is a text that's really meaningful to a lot of people. But it's just like anything else you really want to understand. You need, the right tools to navigate it all.
Exactly. And so today we're going deep into Pondering the Spade. It's a lecture by archaeologist Dr. David Schreiner. And we really want to understand how archaeology and the Old Testament work together. Like what we can really learn and what are some of the common mistakes people make.
I think Schreiner's work is a great choice for this, honestly. He really pushes for a balanced and critical approach, which is super important when you're dealing with, something that people can be kind of sensitive about, like the Bible.
For sure. So to get us started, let's go back to the basics. What exactly IPES archaeology? Most people probably think of digging up treasure and stuff, but Schreiner kind of paints a different picture, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Archaeology is more about studying those things that are found, like pottery shards, tools, remains of buildings,
Right.
and using all that to figure out the cultures and societies that made them. It's about understanding like the why and how behind it all.
So it's kind of like being a detective in a way, but instead of solving a crime, you're figuring out the story of a whole civilization.
Exactly, yeah. And there are some incredible details you can find out. Like Schreiner talks about these things called ostraca, which are basically, pieces of pottery with writing on them. And they're like these tiny little time capsules.
Oh, yeah. He mentioned that the Meshad Hashavyahu Ostracon, wasn't that some sort of legal dispute about someone not returning a cloak or something? Pretty interesting, right? Everyday drama from like thousands of years ago.
Exactly. And it might even reference a specific law from the book of Exodus, which is really interesting. But there are other examples too, like the Lachish Letters, which give us a glimpse into military strategy during a Babylonian siege. So even though they're small, these ostracom can help us understand what daily life was like back then, their laws and even military tactics in ancient Israel.
It's crazy to think that something as simple as a broken piece of pottery can tell us so much about the past.
It really is. And speaking of looking into the past, the way we do archaeology has changed a lot over time. Schreiner actually breaks it down into three different phases.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, like a history lesson within a history lesson.
Well, think of it this way. Phase one was all about exploring, like Napoleon Bonaparte led expeditions to document and collect as much as possible. Kind of like, I don't know, glorified treasure hunting, I guess.
Oh, so more like Indiana Jones than like carefully digging things up.
You could say that, yeah. But even with that approach, there were some big breakthroughs, like the discovery of the Rosetta Stone, which was super important in figuring out how to read Egyptian hieroglyphics.
That's a good point. Sometimes, even if things seem kind of random, they can still help us understand things later on. So, what about phase two?
Phase two is when we start seeing more systematic archaeology, and people like Sir Flinders Petrie were really important in that change. He was the one who realized that those ancient mounds, they're called tells, weren't just random hills. They were actually layers of history. Like each layer was a different time period.
It's like in those movies when they're carefully digging
Yeah.
and each layer they find is a different part of the past.
Yeah, exactly. And Petrie came up with this thing called pottery chronology, where they used the styles of pottery to date the different layers. So now they had a way to understand the order of events at a site.
Oh, wow. So, like, the pottery was almost like a clock.
Yeah, you could say that. And then there's William F. Albright. He was a really important figure, but he could be a little controversial sometimes. He's known for this thing called the conquest model, which is how he explained how the Israelites settled in Canaan. Basically, he thought the Israelites went into Canaan and took over really quickly through a military campaign, kind of like what's described in the book of Joshua.
So it seems like the second phase was all about being more organized and scientific when they were studying the past.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And that brings us to phase three, what Schreiner calls today's archaeology.
So what makes modern archaeology different from the others?
Well, it builds on what they learned in phase two, but it's gone to a whole other level with technology. and more specialization and working together with people from different fields.
So like high-tech gadgets, A&D teams of experts all in one.
Exactly. It's not just about digging anymore. Think like ground-penetrating radar, DNA analysis, all these fancy dating techniques. Modern archaeology is a lot different from those old treasure-hunting expeditions.
It sounds like it's become a lot more scientific and nuanced.
Oh, definitely. Mm. And one of the biggest changes is moving away from those huge excavations. Now they're more focused on smaller areas, so they can have better control over where they find things.
So it's not just what you find, but where you find it and what else was found nearby.
Exactly. That context is really important to putting the pieces together.
Yeah.
And to do that well, you need experts from different fields. You might have geologists looking at soil samples and people who can read ancient writing, and even geneticists studying DNA.
Wow. So modern archaeology is a real team effort.
It really is. And that's what makes it so exciting, I think. By combining all this expertise and technology, we can discover things about the past that we couldn't have imagined before.
So where does the term biblical archaeology fit into all this? It seems like that phrase has, some baggage with it.
It does, yeah. Schreiner even points out that it's been misused a lot. It's become this thing about trying to prove the Bible is true through archaeology, which we talked about before can lead to biased interpretations.
Right. It's really important to let the evidence speak for itself. You can't just try to force it to fit a story you already have in your head.
Exactly. And because of that, some archaeologists don't like using the term biblical archaeology. But Schreiner thinks it can still be useful if we're careful about how we define it.
I'm really curious to hear his take on it. So how does he define biblical archaeology?
He says it's basically just archaeology that helps us understand the Bible, whether directly or indirectly.
Okay, so it's not about saying the Bible is right or wrong. It's about using what we find to learn more about the world the Bible was written in.
Exactly. It's about understanding the historical, cultural, and social context of the Bible. And to really understand how that works, we need to look at something called convergence. It's an idea by William Dever.
Okay, this is where things start getting really interesting. I've heard that term convergence before, but I'm not sure I totally get it.
It's a really cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
So Dever, who is another really important archaeologist, he knew that archaeology and biblical studies are separate things. They have their own methods and goals. But he also thought that they come together in meaningful ways.
So it's not about making one more important than the other. It's about saying they both contribute something important, but also looking at where they connect, right?
Yeah, exactly. And Dever's concept of convergence gives us a way to understand those connections. He says there are two types: narrow convergence and broad convergence.
Okay, I'm listening. What's the difference?
Well, narrow convergence is like those aha moments when an archaeological discovery directly explains something in the Bible. Like,
yeah.
Imagine finding an inscription about a battle that's also described in the Bible. That would be a classic example of narrow convergence.
Wow, yeah, that would be amazing. It's like finding a missing piece of a puzzle that fits perfectly with the Bible story.
Exactly. It's like a direct link between what we find and what's written in the Bible. But then there's broad convergence, which is about how archaeology helps us understand the bigger cultural and historical background of the Bible.
Okay, so even if something we find isn't directly related to a specific story or verse, it can still help us understand the world that the Bible came from.
Yes, exactly. Think about things like ancient farming, religious rituals, or legal systems. Even if they're not tied to a specific event in the Bible, they give us context for understanding the text better.
It's like we can travel back in time and experience the world of the Bible.
Exactly. Both narrow and broad convergence are really important for understanding the Bible in a deeper way. They remind us that the Bible wasn't written in isolation. You know, it came from a specific time and place. And understanding that is really important for interpreting it.
And that's where archaeology is so helpful. It gives us those missing pieces to help us see the world of the Bible with all its complexity.
Right. But we have to remember that not all discoveries are equally important. Some are more interesting than others. And some can really change how we understand things.
So how do archaeologists decide which discoveries are really significant?
Well, Schreiner talks about three main things to look for: widespread interest, a ripple effect in the scholarly community, and a lasting impact on our understanding of the Bible.
Okay, let's break those down a little. What does he mean by widespread interest?
It means that people beyond just academics are interested in the discovery, like things that make the news or are in documentaries. They usually touch on bigger cultural or historical questions
what?
That a lot of people find interesting.
It makes sense that if something is interesting to more than just experts, it probably means it's important, right?
Yeah. It might challenge things people have always thought, or start new debates, or just give us a look into a world that's so different from ours that it captures our imagination.
What about the ripple effect in the scholarly community? What makes something important to academics?
That's about how a discovery impacts research and discussions among scholars. Does it change what we thought was true? Does it lead to new questions and research? Does it make scholars rethink how they understand a certain time or event?
So it's about those discoveries that really shake things up in the academic world and make us rethink what we thought we knew.
Exactly. These are the things that make historians and archaeologists say, wait a minute, we need to look at this all over again. They push the boundaries of what we know and force us to question what we believe.
And the last one, lasting impact on our understanding of the Bible. That seems especially relevant for us today.
It is. This is about whether a discovery changes how we understand the Bible. Does it make a passage clear? Does it give us more context for a biblical event? Does it offer new insights into the world of the Bible that might change how we traditionally interpret it?
So it's about discoveries that help us appreciate the historical and cultural world of the Bible and let us engage with it in a more meaningful way.
Exactly. And when a discovery has all three of these things, widespread interest, a ripple effect in the scholarly community, and a lasting impact on how we understand the Bible, then it's considered a really important find, something that deserves a lot of attention and further study.
This is really helpful in understanding why some discoveries are more important than others. It's not just about finding the oldest thing or the biggest building. It's about the knowledge and insights that those discoveries give us and how those can change how we understand history and the Bible.
It is. And Schreiner uses these criteria to choose the discoveries that he talks about in his later lectures, which unfortunately we don't have for our deep dive today.
Oh, man, that's a bummer. I'm already curious to know what amazing discoveries he highlights. It's like we've just had a taste of something delicious, and now I want the whole meal.
I know, right? It's almost mean to leave us hanging like that. But it does make me want to learn more about these discoveries. What about you? What has stood out to you so far? Anything that's really caught your attention? It's all so fascinating. But the thing that really gets me are those ostraca. I mean, they give us these little glimpses into how people lived back then, like that legal battle over a cloak we talked about. It's just such a human story. You know, it makes you realize that history isn't just about, dates and wars and stuff. It's about real people and what they went through every day.
Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing how much archaeology itself has changed to be able to uncover those stories. We've come a long way from those early expeditions, you know, the ones that were all about treasure and spectacle.
Oh, definitely. Those early explorers were like, well, they had the Indiana Jones kind of vibe, you know, all about filling up museums with cool artifacts and showing off the wonders of the ancient world. It was very romantic, I guess you could say.
But I mean, it wasn't all for nothing, right? Even if they weren't super scientific about it, their work did kind of lay the foundation for what came next.
Oh, absolutely. They got people curious.
Yeah.
And that led to a more systematic and scientific approach to archaeology. People like Flinders Petrie and William Albright were really important in that shift.
Yeah, Petrie's idea that those ancient mounds actually held layers of history was revolutionary. It's like he gave archaeologists this roadmap to navigate time.
He did. And then with his pottery chronology,
yeah,
he gave us a way to actually date those layers and put them in historical order. Suddenly, archaeologists could tell time using broken pottery.
Speaking of pottery, you mentioned Albright and his conquest model for how the Israelites settled in Canaan. That seems like it could be a little controversial, especially given what we talked about earlier about approaching archaeology objectively.
It is, yeah. Albright was a brilliant scholar, but sometimes people said he let his own beliefs influence his work. The conquest model was based on the story of Joshua's conquests in the Bible, and it basically said that the Israelites took over Canaan very quickly through a military campaign.
But I'm guessing that interpretation has been challenged over time, especially since it relies so heavily on a literal reading of the Bible.
It has, yeah. More recent evidence suggests that the settlement process was a lot more complex, with lots of different cultural influences and interactions happening.
That makes sense. Human history is rarely as simple as a single story.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to be open-minded in archaeology. We have to let the evidence guide us, even if it goes against what we thought we knew.
It's a good reminder that the Bible, while it is a valuable historical and spiritual text, was also written from a specific point of view.
Absolutely. And archaeology helps us understand that point of view better. It lets us see the world of the Bible with fresh eyes. For example, the discovery of the Ugaritic texts totally changed our understanding of Canaanite religion and culture.
Ugaritic, I've heard of it, but can you remind me what made that discovery so important?
Sure. Ugaritic is an ancient language. They found it back in the late 1920s at a site called Ugarit, which is in modern-day Syria. These texts gave us so much information about Canaanite beliefs, myths, and rituals. It was like a window into their world.
So before they found these texts, our understanding of the Canaanites was mostly based on the Bible.
Yeah, pretty much. And while the Bible is an important source, it definitely has a specific religious and cultural perspective. The Ugaritic text gave us a totally different viewpoint. We could finally see the Canaanites through their own eyes.
That must have been incredible. What kind of things did these texts reveal about their culture?
Well, they showed us that they have this whole complex system of gods and goddesses, with Baal, the storm god, and El, the head god, being super important. We learned about their myths, rituals, how they saw the universe, even their social structures. It was a huge step forward in understanding this ancient culture.
I bet this also had a big impact on biblical studies. After all, the Israelites lived among the Canaanites, so understanding their culture would be crucial.
Yeah, definitely. For example, the Ugaritic text helped explain why Baal worship was seen as such a threat to Yahweh worship in ancient Israel. They also shed light on things like prophets and religious practices, which helps us understand similar things in the Bible.
That sounds like a perfect example of broad convergence, like we talked about earlier. Discoveries that maybe aren't directly about specific events in the Bible, but still give us a deeper understanding of the world the Bible came from.
Exactly. And those insights can be just as important as those aha moments of narrow convergence.
It's about adding layers to our understanding, right? Each discovery, whether it's directly about the Bible or not, adds another piece to the puzzle.
That's a great way to put it. It shows how important it is to be objective in archaeology and to appreciate how everything is connected. Remember Kathleen Kenyon? She was the archaeologist who challenged the traditional view of how Jericho was destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Her work went against the biblical account of Joshua's conquest. I bet that caused quite a stir.
It did. People are still debating her findings today.
Yeah.
But that's what's so great about archaeology. It makes us ask tough questions, re-examine what we believe, and be open to new interpretations, even if they challenge our long-held beliefs.
It shows that archaeology isn't about finding simple answers or just confirming what we already think. It's about being willing to question things, embrace uncertainty, and constantly learn and reevaluate what we know about the past.
Yeah, it's about being comfortable with not knowing everything,
yeah,
with the gaps in our knowledge, and being okay with the possibility that we might be wrong. The exciting part is the journey of discovery, the back and forth between the past and the present.
And that journey can lead to some really profound personal insights too, right?
Absolutely. I remember one time an archaeological discovery completely changed how I understood a passage from the book of Amos.
Oh, I love those moments. Tell me more.
Well, I was studying Amos, who, as you know, was really outspoken about social injustice and economic inequality in ancient Israel. But I always had trouble picturing what that inequality actually looked like.
Yeah.
Then I came across this report about excavations in Israel, and it described this really stark difference between the fancy homes of the wealthy people and the small, poorly built houses of the common people, all in the same city.
Wow. It's one thing to read about social injustice, but it's something else entirely to see the physical evidence of it. That must have been a powerful experience.
It was. Suddenly, Amos's words weren't just abstract ideas anymore. They were a reality for people in ancient Israel. It made me realize that issues of justice and equality are things that people have struggled with throughout history. They're just as relevant today as they were thousands of years ago.
And that's a really important insight that archaeology can give us. It helps us see that the past isn't this distant, irrelevant thing. It's a reflection of ourselves, our struggles.
That's a beautiful way to put it. By studying the past, we understand ourselves and our place in the world better.
It's about seeing those connections between us and the people who came before us.
And about appreciating how complex the past really is. We can't just simplify it or romanticize it. As Schreiner says, understanding ancient Israelite culture is crucial for understanding the Bible. But he also asks a really important question. How much can we really know about their lives, their beliefs, their motivations?
That's a great question. After all, archaeology is like working with pieces of a puzzle. There are always going to be missing pieces. How can we ever be sure we're getting the whole picture?
We can't be entirely sure. And that's where humility comes in.
Yeah, we have to admit that we don't know everything. and be open to changing our minds when we learn new things.
Right, and we have to be careful about thinking we have all the answers about the past. It's more about accepting that there are things we don't know and being ready to adjust our views when new evidence comes up.
So it's like a constant process of learning and reevaluating, realizing that our understanding of the past is always changing.
Exactly. And that's what I think makes archaeology so fascinating. It's not about finding all the answers. It's about having this conversation with the past, asking questions, trying to understand things better, and putting together all those pieces of history to get a clear picture of who we are and where we came from.
And that brings us back to Schreiner's main point. Archaeology isn't about trying to prove or disprove the Bible. It's about adding more layers to our understanding of what's in the text, giving us context, showing us the background, and helping us appreciate the history and culture surrounding the Bible.
Exactly. It's about seeing the Bible, not as this fixed document, but as something that came from a specific time and place, and that we can understand better by looking at it through archaeology.
It's like using archaeology to build a bridge between the ancient world and how we understand things today. So those ancient stories and teachings become more relatable to us.
You know, it makes me think back to what you said before about how even those early expeditions, the ones that weren't very scientific, still played a role in how we understand archaeology today. It's like even the mistakes and wrong turns along the way helped us get to where we are now.
That's a great point. It reminds us that learning is a journey full of twists and turns, and sometimes those unexpected detours lead to the most amazing discoveries.
They really do. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us, whether we're archaeologists or just people who love history, to approach the past with humility, a willingness to learn, and a sense of wonder.
It's about being open to the mystery, the unknowns, and the possibility of always being surprised. Who knows what incredible discoveries are still out there waiting for us?
That's what makes it so exciting, right?
Yeah.
The past is full of untold stories and hidden connections, just waiting to be discovered.
Well, our deep dive into Dr. Schreiner's Pondering the Spade has definitely made me even more curious. I'm already looking forward to learning more about those really significant discoveries he talks about later, the ones that have changed how scholars think and reshaped our understanding of the Bible.
Me too. It's too bad we don't have those lectures for today's deep dive, but I hope this conversation has inspired you to do some exploring of your own.
It definitely has. And if you're looking for a good place to start, I highly recommend checking out those ostraca we talked about, the Mashad Hashavyahu Ostracon with that ancient legal case, and the Lachish letters with their glimpse into the Babylonian siege.
Those are great places to start, yeah. You can find pictures and information about them online. And you never know, maybe they'll spark an aha moment for you too.
Until next time, keep exploring.
Happy excavating.